and York. So it's a really interesting, and that's about 8% of the population. So it's a really interesting district because it goes all the way from Madison to Dodge County.
Fantastic. Again, our guest here on a Community Comment this morning is State Representative Andrew Heisel. Andrew, I also am just curious if you could provide us with just a little bit of background with your experience as a politician, where you got your beginning. Again, we talked a little bit about this when you joined us back in the fall, but I would like to sort of introduce yourself here to our listeners and our viewers and just talk about your political experience and just how you wound up being a state representative.
So I started off right out of college. I went to Carroll College and was in Waukesha. I started right out working as a staff member in the state assembly in Madison. I went to law school out east, ended up briefly working on Capitol Hill for a congressman, and then advocated and on behalf of children's issues with Save the Children and the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids. Came home to Wisconsin, worked as an attorney where I represent consumers primarily, also do some work with businesses, and just really wanted to make a difference. I felt like things have, when I worked here right out of college, I felt like things got done in the legislature, and I came back and I just saw things, basic common sense things not happening, and I said, you know what, I really want to make a difference, and that's why I ran in this new seat.
Fantastic. We will, in our next segment, discuss some legislation that the representative has introduced. Also, take a look at the committees that he's in and some action taken in those committees as well. Again, our guest here on Community Comment, State Representative Andrew Heisel. We do have to take a short break. More Community Comment is coming up next.
Warm weather, golf, and giving back to the kids? That sounds like the perfect day. On Friday, May 30th, get ready for the Good Karma Brand's John Moser Children's Radiothon golf outing at Old Hickory Golf Club. Registration is at 11 a.m., while 12 o'clock noon marks the shotgun start. It's only $350 for a foursome with two carts and a lunch for four. If all those mulligans have you hungry, stay for snacks, raffle baskets, and scratch-offs. The registration deadline is May 16th. A form and more details are available at DailyDodge.com. Don't golf? Consider sponsoring a hole. And be sure to stick around for the 50-50 raffles where $10 gets you 10 tickets. All funds raised through the day will benefit the 2025 Good Karma Brands John Moser Children's Radiothon.
At the Children's Radiothon golf outing, from every fairway shot to shank that will make you yell four, it's for the kids.
Summer just got a whole lot hotter with the WBEV 95K giveaway presented by Newman Pools. Join us all summer long at any Brock Fry location from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and try to crack the code on our prize vault for your shot at winning $95,000. No purchase necessary, must be 18 or older to enter. One winner per household, one entry per person per stop. For complete rules and details and to find a complete Brock Fry schedule, visit DailyDodge.com.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hear what's going on in your community. Stay tuned to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
And now with more Community Comment, here is Kevin Haugen.
It is 10:17 on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. You are listening to Community Comment here this morning. Our guest on the program is District 48 Representative Andrew Heisel, joining us on the program this morning on Community Comment. And Andrew had a little bit of an accelerated first segment, so we weren't able to really dive into some of the main topics that we want to dive in here with you on our program today. But I have a little bit more time here in our second segment, so I was hoping we could start off just taking a brief look at the committees that you were assigned here during this current legislative session, and just sort of highlight those and your roles in those committees. I'll hand the mic over to you.
Absolutely. So I'm on three different committees. One is the Committee on the Judiciary, which deals with legal issues, the courts, laws relating to civil as well, and sometimes criminal law. The second one is Constitution Ethics, which deals with obviously ethics and also our state constitution, which is a wonderful document. And the third is a Rules Committee, which is really a procedural committee where we approve, as a body, we essentially approve the bills that go to the floor for consideration by the full body.
Gotcha. And so again, those are the Committee on Constitution and Ethics, Committee on Judiciary, and Committee on Rules. And Andrew, are those committees that, is this your first time serving on those committees? Have you had experience on those in the past? What's your background with these committees?
Sure. So as a practicing attorney, I think they picked me for the Judiciary Committee because I actually work in our court system. I'm familiar with it through my work, which is a real advantage. I think a lot of times people have a criticism sometimes of legislators that they're making policies on things they've never experienced firsthand.
Sure.
So that's super helpful. Constitution and Ethics. I have done a lot of work on constitutional issues. I've written law review articles. I've actually filed litigation. I've engaged in litigation on constitutional issues. So that's definitely a good fit. And the Rules Committee is it's more of a procedural committee. It's pretty straightforward that we simply take the bills that have been sent out of committees and we approve them to head to the full assembly for consideration.
Now, with these committees, Representative, are these something that they meet once a week, once a month, when there's items that need to be discussed? What does the calendar look like in a month with having to meet and convene and discuss things that are in these committees?
Sure. Great question. It really is up to the chair of the committees. The majority, the Republican majority, decides when these committees meet. And these committees, we've reserved times for them to meet. Both my committees, with the exception of Rules, the Constitution Committee hasn't met yet. The Judiciary Committee has just met a couple times. Rules meets pretty regularly compared to the other two. But again, it's really the chair that decides when the committee meets.
Gotcha. Again, we're with State Representative Andrew Heisel here on Community Comment this morning, taking a look into the committees that he is involved with here in the state capitol, here in the state of Wisconsin. Want to look at some committee action taken here recently. One of the things that we want to highlight and discuss here is increasing the penalty for child trafficking. Andrew, could you just talk about how this got started? Where was the genesis for this to come up and be discussed? And kind of what are the next steps here moving forward?
Sure. So the bill was passed, or the bill was brought before the committee. It was highlighted that obviously child trafficking is a real problem. It's something that continues to happen, and often it's hidden. You don't see it, but it's really hurting people. It's hurting kids, and we need to take strong, decisive action to protect children. And so, therefore, I supported this bill. It increases the penalty so that if three or more children are trafficked, it becomes a felony punishable by life in prison. And it's something that, it's really a terrible problem, and it's important as policymakers that we take decisive action like this to protect children.
It seems like when we hear changes in laws that involve penalties for inexcusable crimes like child trafficking, it sounds like why wasn't this done sooner? Is a lot of times when you see these things come across your desk and you're like, we need to look at increasing the penalties. Is this something that is it just falling through the gaps here for the last couple of years, decades here, and we just had the opportunity to address it? What sort of spurs this discussion? All right, this is something that we need to address now and look at getting harsher penalties for those who commit these types of crimes.
Yeah, it's a really good question. And honestly, sometimes these bills are brought forth to, in quote, be tough on crime, in quotes, be tough on crime. And it's really important to sift through those and make sure that the change makes sense. Based on committee testimony, the folks that spoke in favor of this, nobody spoke against this. Looking at the federal statutes around child trafficking and looking at our current law, it just made sense to update our laws. Federal trafficking laws tend to be stronger than our state laws, and it was a fix that made sense. And for that reason, I supported it.
Andrew, are you able to walk us through some of the procedural work that needs to be done to be able to make a change like this to state law? Is it rewriting the state laws and reworking how that's impacted and getting that handed down to even local DAs so they know about this change when going through or judges when going through in the court process? What are the steps that are involved to make sure that everybody's on the same page and something like this can get passed?
Sure. Yeah, it's a great question. So the way that it works is there'll be a state assembly member who will come up with the reform idea. They'll have consulted with external groups, including hopefully all sorts of groups from different perspectives. So the DAs, maybe they'll talk to groups that represent the courts, criminal justice reform advocates, those who are concerned and prioritize ensuring people's civil liberties are protected. And then they'll put together a bill and they'll introduce the bill, and the bill will, they'll potentially get co-sponsors. Other members will sign on saying they like the idea. It'll go to the committee. They're in the committee. It's vetted. We have an opportunity for everyone to weigh in publicly, submit testimony in written form, verbally, or both. And at that point, the committee can decide whether to amend it, whether to reject it or pass it, amend it and pass it, pass it as is or reject it. If the assembly passes it, then it moves over to the Senate. The Senate, if they agree and they don't make any changes, then it moves to the governor. And if the governor signs it, it becomes the law. At that point, the Wisconsin laws, the statutes, are publicly available. If you just pop into your browser and look them up, you can pull up any statute you want. And obviously, then that's something that then goes into effect.
We're with State Representative Andrew Heisel here on Community Comment today. And Andrew, I apologize. I know you mentioned here briefly a moment ago just kind of where that process was. But if you could just one more time remind us, for myself and for our listeners, where are we at with this current bill, and what's the next step here with this bill?
It's been transmitted to the Senate.
Okay, so they will discuss it, and then I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, after that, then if it goes through that process, that goes to the governor's desk for a signature?
Yes.
All right, and that essentially is the last stop here in the process to get this bill signed into law in the state of Wisconsin. Another piece of legislation, Andrew, that I want to discuss here, something that you introduced here, is the Frozen Federal Funds Emergency Act. And just, again, set the stage for us here. What is this piece of legislation? What do you hope to achieve with it?
So, I think most people have heard there's been in Washington, D.C., there's been, I would describe it as a very chaotic scenario where funds that have been appropriated through the constitutional process by Congress and signed into law by the president are being frozen. They're being, grants have been canceled. Here in my district, I've been contacted by local nonprofits that provide things like child care, medical services, even arts programming. Grants that they were promised that they signed agreements for have been canceled, or they just have stopped paying on them. Now, we're only the state of Wisconsin, but I will just say this. I find this really important. We send, as a state, $69 billion every year to the federal government. We get back in these kind of direct grant payment programs $28 billion over 2 years, over a biennium. Mm. We use 61% of those go to the Department of Health, to DHS, the Department of Health Services, for things like Medicaid. One-third of the kids in the 48th Assembly District receive their health care through Medicaid. So the idea that we send all this money to D.C., and then they just randomly decide they're not going to spend it and prevent it from coming back is incredibly upsetting and infuriating. I've heard from many people who are affected by this. People come in here and work with folks who, you know, like, I'm afraid, you know, we're afraid the child care is going to end, so these working families won't have child care. Insurance is going to be canceled. We're not going to be able to provide health care. And so what I did with my fellow Democrats is we put together a bill, the Frozen Federal Funds Emergency Act, which would authorize the legislature to use rainy day funds totaling $1.8 billion to the extent possible to fill as many gaps as we could. Not enough money there to offset what the federal government owes us, but at least it's something, and we want to do something, because when you have your constituents who are needing help, you want to help them. And that's really what was the motivation behind this bill.
Hey, Andrew, you mentioned just how important these dollars are for many local groups. I'm hoping we can spend a moment here in a little bit talking just how childcare has been impacted here with even the Child Care Counts program coming to an end here in a couple of months here in the state of Wisconsin, how important that's been for local groups. But with this Frozen Federal Funds Emergency Act, Representative, is this something that you hope to get across the aisle and get some support there to get this approved?
We would love to have somebody from the other side of the aisle support this. It's one of the things that doesn't make any sense to me, is like why folks in the majority would not be interested in trying to help out the very same people in their communities that we're trying to help out. We're all Wisconsinites here. It's our money, and these are important services. We would love to have some Republican co-sponsors.
And what is the next step, Representative? Is this still being hammered out in the current session that we're in, or where is the next step here?
The next step is for it to be considered. I'm not exact. I need to double check which committee it's been referred to, but no hearing has been called. And honestly, I'm not super optimistic that one will be. However, I'm still beating the drum to get this bill. To get this bill, like, discussed at least in committee, because it's important that it's really important. And every day it gets worse. It continues to get worse. It's really, really problematic.
Yeah, sometimes multiple kicks at the can is needed to get something through the state government here in Wisconsin. But we're with State Representative Andrew Heisel here on Community Comment. We do have to take another break. More Community Comment is coming up next.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Trump administration filing a lawsuit against the state of Maine, challenging the state's policy regarding transgender athletes competing in girls and women's sports. Attorney General Pam Bondi says they've been working for months trying to get compliance.
We have repeatedly notified Maine of its infractions and urged them to remedy the situation to protect women. We've stripped grants from Maine through other departments. And we are going to continue to fight for women.
State of California is planning to file a lawsuit challenging President Trump's authority to impose the tariffs that have set off a global trade war. The suit alleges the use of Emergency Powers Act is unconstitutional. New numbers from the CDC continue to show autism rates are on the rise. Some say it's because there's more testing and more diagnoses are included in the definition of autism. This is ABC News.
Nothing says relaxation like a Slumberland furniture mattress and a radio or speaker with 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, broadcasting from the Slumberland Furniture Studio.
This news update is brought to you by Richards Insurance. Visit Richards Insurance in Beaver Dam, Columbus, Oshkosh, Watertown, and West Bend, or online at richardsinsurance.com.
Award-winning news you can count on. WBEV.
The Liwapan Police Department is providing an update to what they call a horrific dog attack that occurred on April 4th. On that date, officers were called to the 200 block of Fond du Lac Street for a report of a child that was attacked by three dogs. The dogs were quarantined at a secure facility for 10 days and have been humanely euthanized. The Dodge County authorities have arrested a Portland man after discovering a clandestine drug lab. Sheriff's deputies were called to an address in the town of Portland for a possible domestic disturbance on Sunday. and learned of a suspected drug lab in the basement. A search warrant was executed the following day and suspected illicit controlled substances, drug paraphernalia, lab equipment, and hazardous materials were recovered. 44-year-old Daniel Beretta is facing numerous drug charges. The Beaver Dam Police Department's 2024 annual report was recently completed. The document tracks arrests made, citations issued, staff changes, and other important details over the course of the year. Police Chief John Kreitziger says these reports help guide the department moving forward. The police department has available on its website annual reports dating back to 2016. The link is at dailydodge.com. The Dodge County Highway Department will be dealing with overgrown roadside vegetation in the coming weeks. Highway Commissioner Brian Field says the department has acknowledged a need to initiate a higher level of maintenance to deal with invasive species along rural roads, especially vegetation that is noxious. The goal is to spray all county roads and the northern one-third of its state roads. No town roads will be sprayed. The opportunity to spray is weather-dependent, but Field says he anticipates they will begin in late April. More details are at DailyDodge.com. And the vice president of a Horicon-based business was recently honored. Surefire's Ted Milcevich received the Patriotic Employer Award by the Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve. The award recognizes employers who go above and beyond in supporting employees who serve in the National Guard or Reserve. I'm Kevin Haugen reporting from the Daily Dodge News Center. Submit your news tips at DailyDodge.com.
53 today under mainly clear skies. Easterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 36. Chance of rain showers. Tomorrow, highs level off around 59. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Chance for storms. Friday, high of 69. 54, more clouds than sun. Saturday. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
Resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them, so you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Visit Richards Insurance in Beaver Dam, Columbus, Oshkosh, Watertown, and West Bend, or online at richardsinsurance.com. News has been brought to you by Richards Insurance. Visit them in Beaver Dam, Oshkosh, Columbus, West Bend, and Watertown, or online at richardsinsurance.com.
Since 1998, the Good Karma Brand's John Moser Children's Radiothon has distributed nearly $3 million to nonprofit organizations serving children in Dodge County and the surrounding areas, and you can help make a difference. Help support the cause by donating an item to our 27-hour on-air live auction, hosting a fundraising event, or making a monetary donation through Venmo. To learn more, visit dailydodge.com/radiothon.
Join your Hire Insurance team for Senior Solutions every Friday at 11:10 here on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Hire Insurance will help you plan for today and tomorrow. We'll answer your questions about health, life, insurance, income, and legacy planning, Medicare, Social Security maximization, and so much more. Together, they'll help you meet your short and long-term needs. Senior Solutions with Hire Insurance, every Friday at 11:10 on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
They keep you informed on the Dodge County landscape. We keep the inside of your home looking great. Professional Floor Covering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Back with more Community Comment. I'm Jake Hayes, and I'm just about to throw it back over to Kevin Haugen. But we got some news here from McKinstry's Home Furnishings. They are under the red awning in downtown Beaver Dam right now with a super spectacular area rug clearance event. There are more than 70 different area rugs in stock and on sale with savings of up to 75%. Choose from brand names like Capel, Surya, Kaz, and Daylin. From casual to formal, traditional, transitional, or contemporary, no matter what your decorating style, McKinstry's has an area rug to match and a sale price you'll love. Hurry into McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam, where customers matter and quality counts for 166 years. Visit McKinstry'sHomeFurnishings.com. Now with more Community Comment, here's Kevin Haugen.
Well, thank you very much, and welcome back into our third segment today here on Community Comment. Joining us on the phone today is District 48 Representative Andrew Heisel, taking the time to join us here on the program, talking about some recent legislation that has been introduced, other actions in here in committee. Here during this segment of Community Comment, Representative, want to also spend some time discussing another piece of legislation that you plan to introduce. Essentially, it's a bill requiring a study on teacher health insurance costs. But again, just sort of provide a bit of context here. What spurred you on to devote some time to looking into this issue and ultimately bring a piece of legislation forward about this study?
Sure. So as everyone is very well aware who has health insurance, prices keep going up. Mm. It seems like things are becoming more difficult in terms of getting care. It is our health insurance system, our healthcare system needs reform. And this is something that it's an issue I've worked on in the past. It's a it's an area I've actually studied, and it is something that I think is one of those win-win ideas, which is across the state of Wisconsin with over 400 school districts, each one of those districts buys their own insurance. When they buy their own insurance, they have to go out into the marketplace, and if they're a small district especially, this really affects rural districts the most, they are dealing with a situation where they may have incredibly high rates. If they have a small number of employees, teachers and other employees, and let's say in any given year, one of those employees is diagnosed with cancer, that the following year could cause their premiums to skyrocket. And what the district then is forced to do is either cut benefits or essentially switch insurances. And even if they switch insurances, they can't be guaranteed to get competitive rates. As a result, we have a situation where starting salary for a teacher may be under $50,000 in certain districts, and they're facing family deductibles of $15,000 net. So their gross is under $50,000, but they have to pay $15,000 net before they have coverage. That is, to me, a problem. And if we had a state pool where school districts could join together, they would be able to buy insurance at better rates, economies of scale. And if there was a crisis in a specific school district where maybe some teachers or others got really sick, and especially in a rural district, it would not cause such problems the following year when they had to renew their insurance.
It sounds like a worthwhile cause as somebody who knows some teachers in his life. And Representative, obviously this is something that, at least as I understand it, something that still needs to be introduced on the floor. Is that going to hope to happen here in the next, what's next couple months, next couple of weeks? What is the next couple steps here in this process for this piece of legislation?
Sure. So I'm currently drafting it. Governor Tony Evers proposed. So let me just take a step back. So
sure.
Basically, to set up a state pool, there's the Employee Trust Fund, which basically manages all state employees and their health insurance. And what they do is they take all the employees, put in a giant pool, negotiate with insurers, and they come up with policies that the employees can select. They get good deals. It's predictability for the insurance companies. Like I said, it's one of these win-win situations. To create a teacher pool like this, we would need to study it. It's complicated. So the governor proposed this not this year, but in his previous budget. So I'm introducing this as a standalone bill. The ETF would study the issue. They'd bring in stakeholders. They would look at the cost, the savings, some of the hurdles, some of the challenges, and also some of the benefits. And then we'd have a roadmap for moving forward. I am proposing this legislation, and it's going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks. What really spurred me into action was a website that the WeTrust, it's an insurance company. They used to do health insurance for teachers. Now they're doing, I believe, life insurance. But WeTrust put up a website, wischools.info, and it basically allows you to go to any school district in the state, type in information, and see what the healthcare benefits are for teachers. And that's how you can look around and see that there are some really rough situations where there's like teachers, it's an honorable profession, they work hard, they don't get paid a lot, and their health insurance just isn't good. In some cases, it's so limited, I would call it only a catastrophic health care plan. So I saw that come out, and I'm like, and I started going through it, and I realized, you know what, we should really get moving on this. Again, everyone agrees that the healthcare system needs reform, and at the state level, this is something we could do that would have an impact across the state, help rural areas, help urban areas, help suburban areas, and help teachers and school districts keep down costs while providing quality health insurance benefits.
Yeah, I feel like this is a good segue into just having a conversation about public education funding and opportunities currently just in general. Obviously, right now with the biennial budget working itself through the Joint Finance Committee, the governor introduced his executive budget back in February. The hope is that something is signed here by beginning of July. But as in your just being in the Capitol, Andrew, and just seeing, hearing conversations and hearing from people in your district, is there more that the state should be doing to be able to help support school districts throughout the state of Wisconsin?
Absolutely. This is something, Kevin, I really appreciate you asking this question.
Yeah.
It's a great question. Okay. So there was a change that was made in the housing crisis back in 2008, 2009. There was a change that affected all of our communities and all of our schools. They basically disconnected the funds shared by the states, the state aid going to schools per student, was disconnected from the rate of inflation. And there's also levy limits put in place. The combination of these things means that today, school districts are receiving over $3,000 less per student than they should be. We've seen inflation being this huge issue. A lot of people say it's why Trump won Wisconsin, was because of the fact that inflation was hitting people's budgets in a really hard way. So like, if that's the case, then how can we ignore what I just described and say, oh, it's the school district's fault or it's the community's fault? These record number of referendum are local property tax increases that are being forced by the state. Okay, they're being forced by the state because they won't pay their fair share. And the governor's proposed paying the fair share so that we don't have to have these, we can get off this like this treadmill of referendums, constantly needing to force localities to raise taxes because the state's not holding its end of the deal. And I just would say one other thing too about this,
sure,
which is it really, really upsets me when the education bills that we review in the legislature that are brought to us by the majority, granted, the majority that controls the school funding that the state provides to localities, the state aid, that same majority brings unfunded educational mandates to us to support. So Sun Prairie just approved a school referendum to fund our schools, operating referendum. We raised our own taxes on ourselves in Sun Prairie. I did it. I live in Sun Prairie. And now the state's going to tell us, oh, good job. You raised your own taxes. Now let's tell you how to spend it. Sometimes I tell people this, and they just can't believe it's true. But it's true. And it's honestly one of the reasons why I ran, because I want to do something to change this.
Yeah, I feel like this is a conversation that that we could spend several hours diving into and discussing. But we do have to take another short break here on Community Comment. We have one more segment of Community Comment coming up after this short break.
Giving back to the kids? That sounds like the perfect day. On Friday, May 30th, get ready for the Good Karma Brand's John Moser Children's Radiothon Golf Outing at Old Hickory Golf Club. Registration is at 11 a.m., while 12 o'clock noon marks the shotgun start. It's only $350 for a foursome with two carts and a lunch for four. If all those mulligans have you hungry, stay for snacks, raffle baskets, and scratch-offs. The registration deadline is May 16th. A form and more details are available at DailyDodge.com. Don't golf? Consider sponsoring a hole. And be sure to stick around for the 50-50 raffles, where $10 gets you 10 tickets. All funds raised through the day will benefit the 2025 Good Karma Brands John Moser Children's Radiothon.
At the Children's Radiothon golf outing, from every fairway shot to shank that will make you yell four, it's for the kids.
So fine, shiny floors that truly shine, tiles and wood you'll adore, get it all at Professional Floor. Showers, blinds, counters too, everything just like brand new, they've got what you're looking for, only here at Professional Floor.
Okay, full disclosure, we still don't sing here, but since I've got the mic, let me drop some knowledge. At Professional Floor Covering, we've got the best brands and styles for every project. Whether you're looking for cabinets, blinds, flooring, or more, we're here to make your home look amazing. Check out our showroom to explore our wide range of luxury vinyl plank flooring. Need a bathroom makeover? We've got custom marble and ceramic showers and countertops to elevate your space. And if you're thinking kitchen upgrade, our cabinet and porcelain tile selection is top-notch. Take a look online at proflr.com and stop in to visit us at 713 Park Avenue. Time to hand the mic back. These are the happenings in your community. Thank you for joining this edition of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
Community Comment is back here, and just about to throw it to Kevin Haugen in just a moment. But first, we have a quick update here from Jean's Beaver Floral. Easter is Sunday, August 20th. Celebrate the Easter season with the glory of a spring bouquet, a colorful, fragrant arrangement, if I can talk, of spring flowers, and a combination of tulips, Gerbera daisies, dianthus, lilies, and iris with fillers and greens. Jean's Floral has a great selection of Easter baskets and Easter egg spring bouquets for family and friends. You can also send Easter wishes of tulips, iris, and daffodils all combined in a spring bulb garden basket. It's the Easter season and time to choose the traditional Easter lily, fragrant tulip plants, mixed bulb gardens, long-lasting daisy chrysanthemums, azaleas, orchid plants, and or fluffy hydrangeas. Call 885-3365 to order your Easter flowers today or stop in by Jean's Floral at 125 North Spring Street and visit the Dalmatian Bunnies online at jeansbeaverfloral.com. Now with more Community Comment, here's Kevin Haugen.
Well, thank you very much, Jake, and welcome into our final segment of Community Comment this morning on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Joining us on the phone this morning is District 48 Representative Andrew Heisel. Again, appreciate him taking the time to join us on the program to talk about recent happenings at the state capitol on the legislative floor and some bills. He's hoping to introduce here in the coming weeks. And Representative, we spent the last segment right before break highlighting just it seems education is a very important issue for you, something that means a lot to you. And ways you can hope to make change at the state capitol. Another really important key issue for you, Representative, is a voting right, something that you've spoken about on the floor of the legislature here not too long ago. But when it comes to this issue, Representative, what is it that spurs you on with this topic, and what do you hope to see happen here when it comes to voting rights in the state of Wisconsin?
Sure. I mentioned my commitment and support of our state constitution and the rights that it specifically delineates for us citizens. I think it's important that we remember that the Constitution is a grant of power. It's a written document that was written back in the 1800s. It's a grant of power from the individual Wisconsinites to the government. That's what it is. It basically says the people have said these are the powers government has, and these are the rights that are reserved for the individuals. Article 3 of our Constitution specifically specifies that Wisconsinites have the power to vote, that we get to choose our representatives. They don't get to choose themselves. So every time the legislature puts something out on the ballot to mess with that, really, it used to be really clear. Article 1 was really short. It was all citizens have the right to vote. And what they do is they keep amending it and changing it and adding stuff to it. And what it does, this most recent amendment that just went through was on requiring in our state constitution to have a piece of plastic with your face on it, a valid ID. That was already in the law. And it was a law that was, you know, passed that basically required photo identification. But by putting it in the state constitution, they said they gave the power to the legislature in Article 3 to make the decision whether to count provisional votes. So if you're a veteran, a Korean War veteran, you're really old, you live up in Iron County, and your ID is expired, you are an elector. You are somebody who has a right. You're a patriot. You're a citizen. You have a right to vote, but you don't have a valid ID. Under this provision that the legislature put on the ballot that was approved, the legislature, not the assembly, now gets to decide whether that person's vote counts. That is taking power away from the voter. And honestly, I understand, you know, there's like valid things. We need to make sure that people who exercise the right to vote are the people that vote. We have a great system in place that does that right now. What this did is unfortunately inserted the legislature into an individual right in Article 3. And they got to stop doing this. This isn't the way that you do constitutional amendments. This isn't proper process. And I'm talking about from just a general perspective. I'm not talking about from a partisan perspective. I'm talking about the government should not be telling individuals, you know, that they are the ones that control whether you have a right to vote or not. If you're a citizen of the United States, you're a resident of Wisconsin, you should have the right to vote, and the legislature should not be able to deprive you of that.
Now, is this a topic, Representative, that obviously with the most recent vote on the referendum, that's come and gone now, but is this something that you plan to continue to bring up and discuss on the floor of the legislature?
Absolutely. Another thing that I gave my first speech on was a misguided bill that would have required when people finish their full sentences and citizens come back into society that they wouldn't be allowed to vote until they paid fines and restitution. These always sound like great ideas, but you got to look at the details, because think about it. The rich, the connected, the bankers, the partners in law firms, they get out from a white collar crime and they get to vote. They'll pay whatever fines they have to pay, no problem. But somebody, a small business person, a service worker, whatever, they literally could be prevented from voting for the rest of their lives because they could never pay off those fines. Again, we get it. We need to make sure people are punished when they break the law. That's why we send them to prison, why we send them to jail. When they're done in our system of justice, they get to vote. In our system of government, they get to vote. They have that right as a citizen. And to make it predicated on their bank account is offensive, and it's an attack on our constitutional rights. So I'm going to continue. I feel like people need to hear these arguments. People need to understand this stuff, because when politicians take away your rights, they don't tell you they're doing it, and they do it little by little by little. And so it's important that we have people in this institution fighting that as it's happening before it's too late.
We're with State Representative Andrew Heisel here on Community Comment. We just have a minute or two left on our program today. With that time, Representative, I noticed that you held recently some budget listening sessions within the district. Was there anything that you took away from those meetings and from constituents that were important to them as the state continues this process of crafting its next state budget?
Yeah, I think what I heard over and over again is that there's a real strong desire that the common sense Wisconsin attitude of like patriotism, working together, being there for your community members, why can't that be in our legislature as well? Why can't that be in our state government as well? Why can't we have that same approach, those same principles in our government? Because it's there. I mean, people, Wisconsinites are known for being caring, civic-minded, hardworking people. And why can't the legislature follow that? And I think that's what I hear at these meetings. It's like, why all this fighting? Why this inability to make basic steps take basic steps to help people. And I, you know, I love it because when you talk to folks, the people in the communities, the people you represent, you're reminded about, you know, that they are these good people that want basic things, like they want affordable health care. They want schools that adequately educate their children. They want to have consistency, and they don't want all this chaos in D.C. And you know what? I think the vast majority of people agree. And it gives me a lot of encouragement that things are going to get better.
We are just about out of time here today on our program on Community Comment. One more time thank our guest for taking the last hour to talk with us on the program, District 48 Representative Andrew Heisel. Representative, thank you again so much for joining us here today on Community Comment.
Thank you, Kevin. Really appreciate it.
And that will do it for today's Community Comment.